All right, before we wrap up, do you guys have anything that you want to plug? Or Ryan,
I have one more question, because we haven't covered the whole cumulative challenge thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know heading into it that that's what you were going to do? Or was
Not at all. It was the second week, though. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mo, but it seemed like the second week. It's like, oh, wouldn't it be fun to actually do both challenges? And then I don't know if there was a consideration of whether or not we were going to keep doing it. But I will say that you guys threw me a curveball, because I was intentionally wanting to go into Nurein writing songs that were not negative.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I was kind of thinking, like, oh, if we'd known that you were going to do that, I might have, like, pushed up against the diss track aspect of it. I mean, but having said that, I mean, your diss track was amazing. But then later on, it's like there was this little pill of negativity in each one of your songs.
The exact opposite of what I was aiming to do this year. Yeah. I seriously, because if you look back at Nurein 3, there's Glenn and Rachel, and one of the worst songs we did was for The Blitz. And it's basically this very, you know, the lyrics are very accusational. It's not a bright spot on our discography. If you look back at that particular song, I don't think it's a good song. And I think part of it is because the lyrics are very kind of a finger pointing sort of thing. And so knowing that we had done that in Nurein 3, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go into this one and I'm going to purposely avoid that. We're going to write positive songs. And then you guys hit me with diss track for the third one.
Thanks, jerks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You won that one though, right?
That's the one that we won. That's the one that we won. And the key that I saw is, I think it was Nivius that was saying that bad raps won't do well.
Yeah.
So I aimed to make something that was not bad. Is a rap, but not a bad rap.
Oh, man. Grumpy Mike was so mad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Judges said no raps, and they rapped.
Oh, no. They didn't say no raps. They said no bad rap. And there is a difference between the two. My history from about 1987 to 1992, hip-hop was just about all I listened to and absorbed. You can ask me almost anyone from the 87 to 92 era, and I know even the most obscure stuff because I collected cassettes just because they were rap at that point in time. But then I drifted away from it around 92 and started checking into other music, partially because of rap, though, because you recognize, oh, this song that I'm being forced to listen to on oldies radio by my parents in the car, I recognize it because there's a rap that sampled it. And it becomes this fun game of, ooh, I wonder if I can connect the dots and figure out where these other songs got these other samples from. Yeah. So it becomes almost a game at that point, and it's so fun.
I will say that Glenn and I, to this day, start chats sometimes by doing, what is it, check the rhyme.
Oh, yes, we do. Absolutely. Yeah. And on that note, are you on point, Mo?
All the time.
Chumpy's on point.
All the time, Flip.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I mean, like, we do that. Both of us are hip hop and rap fans, even if, you know, you probably tell less from me about that because there's not as much guitar playing.
You can rap, though. You rapped on a Frontal Little Squad track.
I can rap if somebody else writes it.
I did write your verse, I think. That is true. Yeah. And that was Martians Are Gonna Eat Us by the Frontal Little Squad. Wasn't it supposed to be like a placeholder? Someone else was going to be doing it, and you did it as a placeholder, but we went with your verse. And you ended up sounding like Old Dirty Bastard in it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like, I don't have a very interesting sounding voice, in my opinion, so, like, I had to do something to it.
Yeah.
You know,
God damn, a competent fool's forgot the rules. How'd you ever make it through flag school?
How the fuck do you remember these things? Like, I can't even tell you what I had for breakfast this morning.
There's important things that I don't remember, but then I remember the most ridiculous, just not important things, like from years and years and years ago.
Yeah. I will say this about the cumulative challenges. I think Glenn's right in that, obviously, for message received, because he called me into the whole thing just like about a week before it all started. And we were not talking about cumulative challenges yet or anything like that. At that time, we were just like, how are we going to make this work? You know, can we make this work? Because I didn't have any equipment at the time because it was all being shipped. And we figured it out. And then when we decided to do the cumulative challenges, we were just like, well, you know, fuck it. We'll just do it. And, you know, whatever. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it'll be bad. Like, whatever. And then as time went on, and we found it really odd that there seemed to be camps of people who believed that we were doing it in order to, like, what, game the judges?
Yeah, to get extra points.
To get extra credit, you know, because it, as Glenn was saying, basically our whole thing was like, wait, what the fuck have we gotten ourselves into? Like, how are we going to, because, you know, sure, you can just throw chiptune sounds into anything if you really want to.
And it's an extra challenge that we're just going to throw at ourselves here. And
but
yeah,
both Glenn and I are from the school of musicians who don't do that. Right. Like, it's everything needs to be motivated. I think one of the things that you keep hearing over and over again from us in our commentary about other people's songs is like, was this motivated? Do I feel that motivation? Does that make sense? Yeah. Does it fit the song? And this is one of the questions that we ask ourselves all the time, and we think about it a lot. I mean, there's any number of songs in our oeuvre for Nirvana that don't have guitar solos. And the part of the reason for that is that we sat there and was like, it doesn't work for this song. It doesn't belong here. You know, I think that it did become a burden, I think, because it became something that came into people's minds of, are they doing the cumulative challenge? Are they going to, and it, with that extra scrutiny, maybe things that other people would have let go or we could have gotten away with became things we couldn't get away with.
Right.
And I was toying with the idea of abandoning it all and just bringing our A game and saying, okay, we got this far. And that was one of the reasons that we called back to message received with the next to last song, was to open it up where maybe we won't do the cumulative challenge thing for the next round. But then it becomes this move of, is that going to hurt us or help us if we drop it all at this point? There's no telling.
Oh, no.
So we basically made it more difficult on ourselves for no good reason, except for the fact that, hey, let's challenge ourselves even more. There's an earlier Nirvana thing that I did a couple of years back where we were not allowed to use the letter A for the song. Yeah. Excuse me. And so I wrote the song about Wheel of Fortune. And the first line is, excuse me, I would like to buy vowels. And throughout it, though, what do you do to challenge yourself further on that? Rachel says you should write a rap verse because that's more lyrics instead
right,
of less.
Right.
I'm like, I'll show you. I'll do two rap verses on it.
So I will point out at this time, at this moment in time, I'd like to point out that the driving impetus of Glenn's creativity is spite.
It's not far off. It's not far off. Sometimes, at least. But no, it's that same sort of thing. It's like, okay, how can I make this extraordinarily more difficult on myself than it needs to be? So even two Nirvanas ago, I was doing that same sort of thing that what we did with the cumulative challenge by doing like, oh, okay, so we can't use the letter A. Well, then I'm going to use more lyrics. And so I feel like that spirit carried over to what we did with this cumulative challenge thing. And for better or worse, it worked out. But for anyone who thinks that you're going to get extra favor, I would challenge them to try it and see how far they get.
I mean, talk to Spin.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was pretty down on that on the last round.
Yeah. I can't blame him.
I don't blame him either. I mean, like, if I were in his shoes, if I were in your shoes, if I were as a judge, I would sit there and be like, well, look, if you're going to do the cumulative challenges thing, that has to be your A game. It has to be really fucking good for me to, like, sit there and be like, I'm going to listen to this now as opposed to, fuck you guys. Like, really? You're going to give me that, you know?
And as far as the extra challenges on the song Where the Streets Have No Name, I decided that every line of the song was going to have exactly 13 syllables and that it was going to be a kind of not something that you're necessarily going to notice, but the town that we came up with in there is going to have bad luck. And so, like, with the number 13, we're going to make it exactly 13 syllables. That was, like, an underlying thing that would not necessarily get noticed, but I thought, I'm going to do this. What was an interesting lesson to me on that is even though each line is 13 syllables long, the placement of the words is different. And as a result of that, you might have it to where the first sentence of those 13 syllables is only 5 here, but it's 7 here and it's 3 here. And it's like, oh, I can't use the same melody because I'll be in the middle of a thought. I never would have realized that before. Like, so I learned something from doing what we did with that one that I never realized previously.
But part of it, too, is just being aware of what you're doing, right? Like, there are other people who would have gone to do the same thing and they would have just, you know, rolled with it and done whatever they were going to do. And I think one of the defining characteristics of the way that Glenn and I worked together is that we sort of like look at everything under a microscope and we end up talking about like all this obscure like bullshit that no one's ever going to listen to.
But we know.
We know.
You and know those 13 make... syllables are there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then the next song, there's every line is 7 syllables. But anyway. The...
Oh, and that was the other part of it is if you read the lyrics backwards to forward, then it makes almost even more sense because each line was meant to be read in reverse order. So.
Right. And that's why I think one of you guys was the, one of the people who caught on to it. Like the way that we built the song, that particular song is the opposite way that you would normally build a song, right? It doesn't build, it devolves.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was to go to the same concept of how do we reflect that the story is going backwards in this song? Well, we have to do it in the music too, right? Yep. You can't just do it in the lyrics or else what's the point? Artistically yep. speaking, you know.
And initially we did record it where it was like a regular song and it just ramped up and got like way bigger, and I thought let's do the opposite.
Yeah, let's start big and tear it down.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, if that answers any kinds of questions or anything, like that's sort of our process is we sit around and like first we start insulting everyone around us and then we talk about how we feel about that
and I